Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour with Randy Gordon, only on LA Talk Radio.
The stats, math figures, poll results, and or other facts may be incorrect, as the host may be too buzzed or drunk to intelligently refer to them.
Welcome back, everybody, to the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour. I am Randy Gordon. Yes, the Randy Gordon. Like anybody knows who the hell I am. But I am the host. I have been the host since its inception. Not that long ago. But welcome. Welcome to the program tonight. And, of course, as always, I'll be drinking the cocktail and telling you about it. And also be discussing whatever's, you know, hot topics of the day, that sort of thing. Whatever comes to my mind. Right now, I'm going to tell you, I can't really get a buzz on tonight. So we're doing Ocean is what we're doing. And the reason I can't get a buzz on is I try this again. I didn't buy enough of it. So I go to Vendome Liquors in Toluca Lake, which is a great store. If you've never been there, if you're in the L.A. area, in that valley, you should check them out. Even if you're not, you should go there. And, you know, they do wine tastings and beer tastings, which is a good way to, like, try stuff out, you know, before you want to fork over a bunch of money. Well, they have a big selection of the little bottles. Since I'm doing this show once a week and I have to drink something once a week, I don't want to buy big bottles of beer. Although everybody is big bottles of booze, I should say. Everybody is suggesting I do that because then at the end of the year, I can have a big party because I'll have a fully stocked bar. Believe me, I would, but probably within about 3 months if I just bought, you know, 750s and stuff like that. But, you know, I can't do that. So I go and get the little bottles. And I was looking for something new, something different, something I've never seen before. And I saw this little bottle, and it's on our Facebook page. So if you're listening live right now, you can go to 30MCH, Facebook, 30MCH, and you'll see a picture, because I took a picture right before I posted it, right before I went on the air here. So it's a little round bottle. It looks like a little hand grenade. It's either vodka, or it could be cologne. That's really what it looks like. It could be cologne or perfume or booze in here. You never know. And it's called Ocean. It's organic vodka. And I'm just watching some girl sneak around the studio. I hope it's nothing crazy. It's Ocean organic vodka. And it's from Hawaii. And it's a little blue ball. And it looks like a little tiny hand grenade. But it's deceiving. And this is why I can't get drunk tonight. Because it's a good sized, I would say like a baseball size bottle. And I thought the whole thing was full of vodka. It's hard to tell because it's got this, you know, blue tint to it. So you can't really tell how full it is. But like 1/3 of the bottle is glass. It's like 1/3 of it is like the bottom of it is, it's kind of at an angle. So you're not getting the full ball. You're not getting full balls, what you're getting. You're not getting. And everybody knows you need full ball, right? I mean, everyone would tell you. So you're not getting full ball. You're getting like 2/3 of a ball. So that's kind of frustrating. So you get like, I don't know, you get like a drink. That's probably 2 ounces or something in there. So that's a normal mixed drink. But I tried it straight. This one I'm drinking with a club soda and lime, which is pretty good. It's not bad. Straight up, it has, at first it's nice, it's clean, and then it has a little bit of that rubbing alcohol kind of taste to it. You know, that sort of, it doesn't smell that way. It smells very clean, but there's a back finish to it if you're drinking it just straight up. And it was a little warm, so maybe that had to do with it, but on the rocks, with lime, club soda. Not bad, I gotta say. So the whole thing about Ocean organic vodka is it's from Hawaii. Like I said, it's made in Maui. That's where they're out of. It's a sugar cane. It's the only one made of sugar cane, I believe. from Hawaii, obviously. And that, you know, what else would you make it with? Because, I mean, Hawaii's either that or macadamia nuts, I guess you'd make it out of. Who knows? And I posted that we're going to be tasting the ocean tonight. Oh, just hit the thing. Tasting the ocean tonight on the show. And I sort of meant it, because the water in that they mix it, make it 80 proof, is deep ocean mineral water. So they're getting it from the Kona area over there, deep in the ocean. They're getting all kinds of really good ocean water to mix with the sugar cane distillant. And apparently it's good enough for Hawaiian Airlines, because it is the number one vodka, the official vodka of Hawaiian Airlines. So maybe that tells you something. I don't know, but you should check it out if you've never had it. You know, if you're a vodka drinker, let me know. You know, post something on our Facebook page if you try it. If you're a vodka person and you go, oh, you know, I tried it, I liked it, it's not too bad. Yeah, let us know. So it's called Ocean, and it's organic. So if you're one of those people and healthy, you know, you're into the environment and no GMOs or whatever, then this is your vodka, I guess. Like I said, I'm having with club soda, and the only club soda they had there was premium club soda, which I didn't know there was such a thing. Fever Tree premium club soda made with soft spring water. And I always wondered how you tell if a water's hard or soft. I guess if it's excited, it's hard. Yeah, I don't. I mean, no artificial sweeteners. There shouldn't be any sweeteners in club soda, right? I mean, I just it's sparkling. It's CO2 inside water, so I don't know how you make it any different than that. But I gotta stop hitting this microphone. I think I just damaged the studio, and I'm spilling on myself. It is, even though I am not, I don't even have a buzz on, I'm breaking the studio. So we're gonna stop touching stuff. Well. Speaking of airlines, crazy day for Southwest Airlines. First time I've ever heard of Southwest ever having a major issue. But I guess a couple years ago, they had the same engine, probably not the same plane, same side. Piece blew off. And unfortunately, this time, the piece was large enough that it had broke through that window and hit the woman inside the plane. And unfortunately, she passed away. So, but you gotta credit, you know, we've been talking a lot this year about women and, you know, women doing more things, especially in the movie industry and that sort of thing. And boy, here's a person that they should really look up to is that female pilot. She was the first woman to fly in a F-18, I believe. Military background. She really did a great job with getting this Southwest plane back on the ground. And everybody else being all right. You know, unfortunately, it's just when the piece came off the engine, it went to, you know, it hit the window and somebody was sitting there, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, there's 143 other people or so on the plane that are walking off of it. So that is a good thing in the tale of all things, you know, airline wise. We haven't had a lot of the. That's why there's probably, you know, it's always on the news, because we don't have one, as they say in the news business. We don't report on every safe landing, you know. So that means that, you know, it's a very rare occurrence, which tells you that how safe, especially here in the United States, how safe we are with flying. And Southwest is one of those airlines that is really good. That's one of the reasons they're really good with their safety, is because they have the same plane. So they have parts for it, and they don't have to worry about, you know, having parts for this plane or that plane, or the other plane. And that's kind of what keeps their overhead low too. That's why that's their smart business model, was they have the same type of plane, the 737, and they can always, easy to fix, to maintain and all that kind of stuff. When you only have one type of plane, it's like, have it if you only bought, you know, a Chevy Cruze, you know. So if your household has four Chevy Cruzes, you keep some Chevy Cruze parts around and you'll be all right. Or you can take stuff from one, put it in the other. But good business model. Unfortunately, this is probably going to hurt them a little bit. Depends on how they handle it after this. You know, that's the question. How do you handle when there's a tragedy, especially when there's a death? It is a single death, and you know, maybe that, you know, not to negate her death of any sort, but it is just a single death out of 144 passengers. So maybe, you know, you kind of chalk it up. It's almost the same thing as like a hockey game. When you hear of somebody getting hit with a puck at a hockey game, and there's 10,000 people in the arena, and there's one person who gets hit by a puck, and just the odds, it's very weird. It's kind of the same thing. The odds of the engine breaking apart and going through the window, it's just very weird. But it depends on how they, you know, go about handling the situation PR-wise to see. And also what the report's going to come back from the NTSB. So a lot of death this week. Celebrity death. Barbara Bush just passed away today, too. This is April 17th. And God, what a life she's had. What a life Barbara Bush has had. Plus, she's one of the few women, very few, to be the wife of a president and the mother of a president. So you got to give her props to that. And everybody talking on the news tonight about Barbara Bush was about how much she was sort of a ball buster a little bit and how she kind of kept the family in line. You know, she did her best to definitely be the matriarch of that family, and born before the Great Depression, which is she's been around a long time. She's seen this country change for the better and for the worse. She's seen it up and down and all over the place. We have the studio next door apparently had the cast of Hamilton here. And they're outside the window, and they're all taking a giant selfie. There must be six people. So they had about 6 or 12 people in this studio next door. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the cast of something. You can probably hear them laughing outside. And, there she is. She's and they're saying their goodbyes, and they're loud. Okay, so Barbara Bush, unfortunately did pass away. She's 92. She had a good life. You know, you can't like when you're 92 and you had this great life like she's had. You know, there's nothing you can say that's bad about it. And you know, you can just say, well, I'm ready to go, man. And that's why she said, I don't want to get any help. I'm just you know, want to have home comfort, stay at home, relax, chill it out. And boy, that's the way to do it. Seriously, I mean, that's the way to do it. 92. And also, Harry Anderson passed away this week, celebrity number two. If you don't know who Harry Anderson is, then you probably are not a child of the 80s, because Harry Anderson was on Cheers first. He was a street musician, a magician. Like sleight of hand and a con artist kind of guy. And he was on Cheers, and that's what his character was, too. And that's kind of how he started. And then he gave him the show Night Court, which was, I gotta love Night Court. Night Court was so good. That gave John Larroquette his start. He played such a smarmy little motherfucker on that show. Oh, God, was he smarmy. But he's a classic. Classic show. And also on that show was so Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light. The girl singer was actually on that show. She is it's not the girl in the music video. The woman, the first she played the first prosecutor. So, it would, you know, Night Court was a show where, if you never saw it, so Harry Anderson was a judge at night. It was Night Court, meaning like if something happened overnight, this was, you know, 1, 2 in the morning. And so it's a lot of like prostitutes, maybe like a drug thing. And so there was the John Larroquette. He played the public defender guy. So you got that. That's who you got. And then there was a prosecutor on the other side. And there was a bailiff, and then it was a real small court, and the comedy ensued from there. But the first woman actress, and I didn't look up her name, I should have. But, yeah, she's She sings on Paradise by the Dashboard Light. She's the woman, you know. If you love me, would you love me forever? Do you need me? Yeah. I won't subject you to any more of that. But yeah, that. So he's a heart attack in his house. He was, I think they said he was 65, somewhere around there. That's sad. That's sad. And then also the other one that a lot of people were talking about is R. Lee Emery from Full Metal Jacket. He was in the military. He was a drill sergeant. He became an actor. He's best known for the Full Metal Jacket, and then went on and did some stuff on The Simpsons and did other things. Became very popular after Full Metal Jacket. But this is, and you know, coming from that world, so they gave him credit. I mean, they gave him like carte blanche to go and do what he wanted to do in the opening scene, as the drill sergeant, as they all go, they're on the way to Vietnam, they're training, and then they go on there. So I just want to play a little clip, because this is his improv, and this is genius.
That you, John Wayne? Is this me?
Who said that? Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toed cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? Nobody, huh? The very fucking godmother said, I'm fucking standing. I will PT you all until you fucking die. I'll PT you until your asshole for sucking buttermilk. Was it you, you scroungy little fuck, huh?
Sir, no, sir.
You little piece of shit, you look like a fucking worm. I bet it was you.
Sir, no, sir.
Sir, I said it, sir.
Well, no shit. What have we got here? A fucking comedian, private joker. I admire your honesty.
Until your assholes will be sucking buttermilk. I don't even know what the fuck that means. But God is a genius. Oh, he was so good. God, he was so good. Loved him. Loved him. He was so good. Ah, so he's another one gone too early. I think he was younger. He wasn't that old. He was that, you know. It's just sad. It's just sad. You know, when the good ones go early. And Harry Anderson, I haven't heard a lot about, you know, for a long time. But Ermy, he's, you know, he's been around doing things here and there. So, well, God rest you all there. Bad news. That's the, you know, that's what gets clicks, though, doesn't it, on articles? You know, that's what I'm noticing today. That's what I want to talk about. I was, like, so frustrated today. When I get on Yahoo News, and I just look to scroll through to see the stories, and I get so tired of these articles that are just clickbait. And there's no substance to the story, but they put these titles out there that make you think there's something. Well, and half of them are Trump stories, which, and I'm sorry, but if you're just using his name, Mr. Comey, to sell a book or to sell a news story to get clicks, and there's no substance to it, well, you're an asshole. That's all there is to it. And you're no better than him, and you're no better than some of these other people. You're just, you're using the name to make some money. It's like they asked Stormy Daniels that on The View. It sounds like, you know, you showed up to the Cohen trial when you didn't need to be there, and you made a statement afterwards when you didn't need to make a fucking statement. You didn't need to be there. It's not your trial. It's not your court appearance. But she showed up anyway to get some publicity, because that's what it's all about. It's about PR. It's about publicity. And she says, oh, well, I didn't get in it for that. Well, what the well, really? You're charging $75,000 when you used to charge about maybe $25,000? For an appearance fee, and now you're charging $75,000, and you're doubled your bookings after this happened, but you're not doing it for publicity. No, you're doing it because you were wronged. Please. Seriously, sister. Good God. Jesus, pull on this one, you know, play Jingle Bells. And I'm, and you read these articles, and I look at the person who wrote it, and every time I read an article like this where there's it's some salacious title, then you start to read it and there's nothing to, or the story is stupid and they just put Trump's name in it just for you to read the article. There's nothing to it, though. It just is like, or there's another article, like, here's an example. There was the Laura Spencer article. This had nothing to do with Trump, but this is Lara Spencer. Not Laura Spencer. Lara Spencer from Good Morning America, which, you know, I'm going to stop hitting this fucking mic, man. Lara Spencer. So the article says the title was something in along the lines of staffers at GMA are glad to see that Lara Spencer will have less days on the show. Right? Meaning they can't stand her. That's the gist of it. And you want to find out why they can't stand her. So the article goes on. The author of the article just pretty much... The whole point of this... I want to say it was three paragraphs at least. The whole point of this three-paragraph article was to point out that Lara Spencer is a bitch. That was it. There was nothing else to it but to point out that people at GMA think Lara Spencer is a bitch. What point does that serve? How is that news? How is that anything important? How do you call yourself a reporter first and foremost? You know, you 25-year-old BuzzFeed, HuffPost, you know, writing your article at a coffee bean, a tea leaf, and submitting it online, and then going to Coachella. You know, I know you're just trying to get clicks. I mean, because that's how you keep your job. You know, you used to do readership and all that kind of stuff when there was newspaper articles. But now it's about clicks. It's all about clickbait. And it's not just for those people who have those articles. Because also they want to write a salacious article. This is their sort of modus operandi. They want to write a salacious article. They want to get a bunch of buzz from it. They want the article to go viral. So then they can go on places like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and be a talking head. And get paid to show up to spout an opinion, not be a reporter anymore. That's what their whole point is. That's what their whole job is. That's what they're looking to do. They're not looking to give you the actual facts of any story. They're looking to become talking heads and give you their opinion. That's all they want to do. They want to go on and Lord knows there's plenty of room because CNN has 8 talking heads every time they do a subject. I don't know how the host handles it, but and then there's another article about the the ACM Awards. Now, this is from Rolling Stone, right? And Rolling Stone has been a credible magazine for decades. Yeah, well, it was. And sometimes I think they're getting a little... depends on who's taking over, you know, who's fact-checking and who's the editor and all that kind of stuff. But there is a whole story from Rolling Stone about the ACM Awards, the American Country Music Awards that were held in Las Vegas on Sunday. Now, every year they do it. And, of course, this year we were, what was this, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. So we're like 8 months, somewhere around there, 8 months past the shooting in Las Vegas at the Jason Aldean concert. And so, obviously, since it was Jason Aldean, they had to address this. It's country artists. It was a country concert. There was, you know, 50 people murdered at it. So you need to address it. But then the question is, you know, it's 8 months past the point. How do you address it? It's not like you're right there. You are in Vegas. So, yeah, you got to have to kind of do it as well. So, you know, the author of the article in Rolling Stone was pretty much mad at the ACMs because they didn't do more than what they did. Well, first they started the show in one of those very silent opens. You know, no fanfare, no music. We all seen it after a tragedy and somebody does a show. They always started the same way where they're standing there. It's dark. There's like a spotlight on them. And then they, you know, do a little speech and then they start the show. And that's kind of what they did. Jason Aldean is actually the first one to speak. And then they had 3 or 4 others speak after that. So they went, and then later on, they did another little tribute you know, to the people. What happened is that the reporter at Rolling Stone, or I say reporter loosely, but the author of the article at Rolling Stone really was mad because the ACM, you know, Music Awards there wasn't an hour and a half of an anti-gun rally. I think that's what they wanted. I think they wanted them to come out and say something about, I don't know, bump stocks or something. I don't know, or about guns. But it's not the time or place. It's not the time or place to do that. You know, the ACMs is not the time or place to be doing some anti-gun, you know, AR-15, anti-bill, you know, shouting match about it. You know, there's a time and place for that. This was to celebrate country music. This was nothing to do with the Las Vegas shooting. It just happened to be at a country music event. You know, I think they were expecting maybe the same thing that happened over in Britain when Miley Cyrus joined. Remember, they all got together after Ariana Grande, her concert, when those people, there was the bombing at the concert. And then they all came out and there was this whole... I don't know. And it was a big because they had that concert later on. There was a big to do, and there was, you know, these shirts they were wearing and all. I think that's what the person was looking for when they wrote this article, to chastise the ACM. For what, I don't know. Because that was a pretty good show. I wasn't upset about who won this or that, because I don't paid that much attention to country music. I did like when they were doing the pairings of like newer artists and older country artists, and they're doing that country artist hit, you know. I think it was Blake Shelton and Toby Keith doing I Should Have Been a Cowboy. That was kind of cool, you know. Toby Keith may have been drunk too, by the way. I didn't notice that when I was watching. He seemed a little off his game. He either didn't give a shit, which is possible, because he kind of comes off that way. He had his little red solo cup, which he's got a song about too, so maybe that's why he had that on stage. But yeah, he looked like he was a little tipping back a few cocktails, a couple beers. Yeah, he did look a little tipsy out there. But Blake Shelton hung in there. He did his own. And that was kind of interesting, too, because Miranda Lambert won for her song Tin Man. Hey there, Mr. Tin Man. If you never heard it, by the way, you should look it up on YouTube. The acoustic version she did, I think it was like last year at the ACMs or one of those. Gorgeous. Gorgeous song. Beautiful song. But it's about a breakup. It's about someone breaking your heart. And it was written shortly after her breakup with Blake, their marriage. So she wins an ACM for song, I think Song of the Year or something like that. You know, and he's there. And Gwen Stefani's there too, because I saw a video of her and Blake Shelton at the on YouTube. There was a little video of those two singing. She was singing one of her songs, and then they were singing the what the hell was that band she was in? I forget. But he was singing along with her. I was singing her song last night, matter of fact. Did you ever get a song stuck in your head? You know, when you're just out. I was grocery shopping. I was getting some things, and I needed to get bananas. So, yes, Gwen Stefani. What pops in my head as I'm walking to the produce section? In my head, I'm singing, I need bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Need bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. I almost started singing out loud, but I didn't. I was going to, but I refrained from it. But I thought, how uncomfortable is that with Blake and Miranda? With the I don't know. You know, you have to see him there, and it's kind of. And she wins for a song that's about, hey, asshole, thanks for breaking my heart. You know, who knows? But to go back to this article. So the ACMs, I thought, was a nice show. And this whole article, again, is this news? This is my question that I'm posing at night. So when you are on the internet tomorrow, tonight, whenever you are, I want you to just browse through like Yahoo, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed's another one. But you know, Yahoo's a good one because they put up news articles that come from places I've never heard of. There'd be like spicyjuicy.com is like an article about Russian collusion. I'm like, who the fuck is this webpage? Is this a porn page or is this like a real news place? What is this? You know, johnnyjacuzzi.com. And, you know, it's like a credible news. That's a credible news source. So if you scroll down them, find some of these news articles, just read the title and then start to read the article. But click on the read more, because that's where you see the first paragraph. They get you enough that you have to click read more, but they can sum it all up in one paragraph. So you don't have to read the rest, which negates everything they just said in the first paragraph. Because a lot of it is supposition. A lot of it is just their own interpretation. The author's interpretation of the news of what really happened. So you'll see a lot of parentheticals. You know, you'll see, you know, quotes, a lot of things, a lot of words in quotes, meaning the person didn't really say that, but that's their intent. So when they're writing these articles, that's what they do, is they put all this stuff in there, because I don't have to prove that. You know, this isn't Time Magazine. This isn't Newsweek. This isn't the New York Times. I don't have to fact check this shit. This is Huffington Post. This is BuzzFeed. I don't need to do that shit. I can say whatever I want and make it sound like it's a true news story. And they'll say anonymous sources. There's a lot of anonymous sources going around lately in Washington, D.C., for one place. But there's a lot of anonymous sources that I'm sure are bullshit. You know, they are friends of Harvey the Rabbit, these anonymous sources. That is a reference to a old Jimmy Stewart movie where Harvey the Rabbit was imaginary. That's what I'm trying to say for you people who don't know. But read these articles, because it really gets interesting the more you go down and you start to read them. And then ask yourself the question, is this news? Is this something that we all need to know about? Is this dire enough? Is this important within the, one of the favorite words of millennials, in the zeitgeist of the world, or at least the United States? Is it something that we need? And I tell you, it's not. Half the time you read these articles, this is just bullshit. This is called filling three paragraphs so I can get a paycheck. It's terrible. It is. The latest stories, like even recently with so the Cohen trial, which I find very strange that the judge wanted the list of clients from Mr. Cohen when I thought that there was like attorney client privilege, but I don't know. But maybe that's just me. But the client, so they wanted the client list, and so Sean Hannity's name came up because he mentioned him as he's a client. Well, Sean Hannity says, "Well, I'm not a client. I just asked him for some real estate advice here and there, but I'm not. I've never retained his services. He's not my attorney. I've never done anything with him." Oh my God! Oh, Jesus is a big one. Oh Lord, look out! This is going to take them all down. They're all going to. Somebody was even. There was a Democratic representative that was calling for Sean Hannity to be fired from Fox News for what? Because he asked some lawyer for real estate advice. If that's the case, there's a lot of representatives and senators who'd probably be fired. And should leave office right away, as well as people from CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS. I mean, if everybody who ever asked an attorney for some off-the-cuff advice, you know, off-the-books advice here and there, I think they'd all be fired. That's what I hate is You're making a mountain out of a molehill, man. There's like nothing. There's no story there. There's no story, but they try to make it seem salacious. That's what's frustrating me with this news lately. Like, everything is salacious and this and that and the, you know, it's like, again, with the Stormy Daniels, nobody's ever asked her, what's your point? What's your final resolution here? What do you want? What do you want out of this whole thing? She's never said. She goes, I want to tell my story. Well, you don't think you've told it enough? Shit, we've heard enough crap from you. What do you want to tell? The juicy details about his wiener? I mean, I don't understand. I mean, what else do you want to tell? You're getting big money. Do you want to sell a book? You want to be able to write a book? Is that what you want to do? I mean, join the... Oprah used to have Oprah's book club. I think Trump ought to have Trump's book club because everybody's writing a book with that guy's name on it, either for him or against him. And the only reason they slap his fucking name on it is because they know it'll sell books. And you open it up and there ain't shit inside. You know? It's like when somebody... they'd put up those displays. That's exactly what these news articles and these books are. These are like Christmas displays in a mall, like a Christmas tree, and underneath of it has presents, but there's no fucking presents in the box. If you pull the wrapping paper off, it's an empty box. It's just for display. That's what these books and these articles are all about. I'm not just talking about the Trump ones, but a lot of articles on, and can we stop? I am ranting tonight, but I'm on it. It just bugs me. Can we stop with these articles that I have to press at the bottom of it? One, I got to go from page one to two to picture three to picture four. I don't give a shit. I want to see the one picture. You tease me with the one thing that I want to see, and I don't know which one it is. So I have to wait for 1,600 fucking ads to load before I can see the first picture, and I can click the arrow, and then sometimes the ads trick you because it looks like the arrow to go to the next picture. And I hate that shit, and I think that that's deceiving, and that's con artist kind of bullshit, and I think there's some people should be arrested for that. That's all I'm saying. I think people should go to jail because of that crap. I mean, you're luring me in with this shit. And then, and there you go. And I gotta click through these pictures because I want to see the one, you know, woman at Walmart with a cat in her underwear, whatever it is. I don't know what the picture is, but I want to see it. But I gotta go through like the other pictures first. I guess it's so frustrating. But this is what we live. This is the time we live in, especially with the internet and with everything being able to see videos and pictures and all this kind of stuff, and everybody's video and everything. And everybody wants to become viral, either for money or to sue somebody or that kind of thing. And not saying that that's what what's happened with these gentlemen at Starbucks. So these two African-American gentlemen were at Starbucks. I forgot what city it was, but... and the city kind of depends, too, I suppose. But so they're at Starbucks. They go in. They ask to use the restroom. They say it's for, you know, customers or whatever, which we get that in L.A. You'll see signs, no public restroom everywhere. I've gone to gas stations. I've pumped gas. I've gone inside. So I've paid, you know, $30 worth of gas and I asked for a restroom. There's AMPM, ARCO. There's no restroom for it. They say, no, we don't have a restroom. Then I ask them where they pee and they're like, shut up. Because they have to have a restroom for them, you know, for the employees. So, you know, you get that a lot. There's no public restroom, and it happens. And so I guess they went in there. Supposedly they said they were waiting for their friend. Now, they didn't buy any coffee. They came out of the restrooms or whatever. They sat down at a table inside the store, and they didn't buy any coffee. They just sat there talking, whatever. Like a lot of people do at Starbucks, but usually they go and they get a $10 coffee, and they sit there for 6 hours writing their screenplay. But you bought your $10 coffee. Maybe that's the trade-off for using the Wi-Fi. So these two guys sat there, and now I be honest with you, I don't know how long they were sitting there. So what I'm going to say is based on some facts that I don't know. But what I want to say is that, so the police were eventually called. to get these guys to leave for trespassing. Now, obviously, when the police show up, people throw out their cameras. The cameras may have been rolling ahead of time. I don't know. And these guys, you know, obviously put up a little fight, a little struggle to a certain degree because they don't want to, you know, be resisting as well. So they put up a little struggle, and the police arrest them for trespassing because the Starbucks manager asked them to wait outside, and they didn't. They sat inside. So what I'm saying is that sometimes, and this was the big news article, because the two gentlemen were black, and the police were called and arrested because they're black. Now, the question is, were they sitting there for 15 to 30 minutes waiting for their friend? And not buying anything and just sitting in there, and I'm running a business, and I don't care if you're black or red or white or green, and I'm running a business and you're sitting in my business for 30 minutes and you're not buying anything? I'm sorry, it's not a public library. You gotta get out. If somebody asks you to get out or buy something, you know. I do that when I go into I stop and I gotta use a restroom in a gas station, I don't get any gas, I'll go in, I'll buy a candy bar or something if I use a restroom because I feel bad. So, and I don't understand why these guys didn't just wait for their friend outside or buy their coffee they were going to drink there anyway. Why not just get a cup? Were you waiting for your friend to decide what you want to drink? See, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And maybe it'll all shake out here in the end, and maybe we'll find out what was going on. Because sometimes I wonder if some people do these sort of things as a setup in today's age, because we've seen a lot, and we've had cases where, like, remember the army, the military base, the school, where people had written, you know, racial slurs and spray paint on the wall, and you found out it was the black student did it, and he did it on purpose, and it wasn't like it wasn't, you know, so that's what I'm saying. You find out sometimes later on that these people are full of shit or is a setup. Not saying that this is. I don't know. Who knows? But it's. Sometimes it's just, especially when the video is like too clean or something like that, or the situation doesn't smell right, doesn't pass a smell test. Like the way it comes off in the press, and like again, I didn't, you know, study this entire thing but the way it comes off in the press is that these two black men went into the Starbucks, they sat down, and they were sitting there for like 5 minutes, and then the police were called. So I think there's a lot more that has to come out from this story. But that's, again, that's what I'm talking about. And if these were two white guys that were arrested, there would never have been a story. If the same thing happened. Or even if it was two Asian guys. You know? I don't think it would have happened. So that's what I'm saying. It's so frustrating, this the news. And I can't even call it news anymore. I don't think it's news. The stuff you read on the internet. And then even national news gets regurgitated by the local guys. You ever seen those? You ever seen those clips on YouTube where they put together the exact same talking points for the story, but different local news from Denver to Memphis to New York to, you know, wherever, like all across the country. The intro to the story and what the story's about is almost verbatim. So, I mean, that tells you, you know, the state of the news today. Because the news has started to compete with the internet. And so now even national news and stuff and CNN and MSNBC and ABC Nightly News, they have to get clicks. They have to get you to sit there and watch. So, you know, what is... George Stephanopoulos doing on, what is it, 2020? Interviewing Stormy Daniels. That was Anderson Cooper. He's interviewing Stormy Daniels. Anderson Cooper, who used to be on CNN, he used to be a legitimate newsman. He used to take him seriously, of course, until he started doing New Year's Eve with Kathy Griffin. But he used to take him seriously. And he's sitting down and talking with a porn star about a mutual agreement, sexual liaison with a businessman, a New York businessman. It blows my mind. This is like, you know, really?
Really, Anderson? You know, and you start talking about pee-pee, you know, pissing and shit like that. It's...
Oh, God, it was just the most painful thing to watch. Because you're watching a guy sell his soul to the devil is what I'm watching. And same thing with George Stephanopoulos with, you know, Comey comes on this interview and says absolutely nothing except salacious shit. And that's all they show in the highlights. He didn't say anything substantive. All he talked about was the president's hands and how I was intimidated. Even though I'm the FBI leader, I was intimidated by this man. When I walked in his office, I was scared. I'm the FBI director, but I saw him and his tiny hands and his orange skin, and I was scared, and I didn't know what to do because he frightened me. Really? Really, Jim Comey? You got to be fucking kidding me. And this is what you're talking about. This is what he's talking about. Mr. President, we have a tape of, not a tape, but we have a dossier that says that you like to get peed on by Russian pee-pee hookers. Yeah, I mean, that's what he talked to George Stephanopoulos about. And George didn't press him on anything. Oh, it's just all salacious. Where is, you know... Edward Murrow, is he rolling over in his grave right now? Is Walter Cronkite? You know, it's like these people are just they've gone off the deep end, and they've gone to the area that they should never have gone. They've gone into tabloid journalism. But you know what's funny? Is the only people that I trust as a source, that I believe as a source wholeheartedly, and will get the truth and get it right the first fucking time, 99% of the time. And when I hear that they are the ones who know what is right with the story, I believe it. And you know who that is, and that's TMZ. Can you believe it? TM fucking Z. They are the only ones who double check their shit and make sure that they don't go to print unless they know that they are absolutely correct with what they have. You know, they don't speculate. They don't, throw out this or that and this idea or that idea. They give you the facts and let you decide what's going on, what's the truth through here, you know, or what the deal is. But it's amazing that the tabloid, what we consider to be the tabloid, is actual news. And the opposite is happening. News has become tabloid. It's amazing that this has happened in our country. But, well, I tell you what, you want to get the straight dope, you can get it from me right here at the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour. 30mch.com is the website. You can find me there. I put the blog up as well. Facebook, 30mch. Follow us. Please follow us on Facebook. If you're first time listening, please go to Facebook. Follow us. Also, Twitter, 30mincocktailhr. 30mincocktailhr on Facebook. You can find us on iTunes, Podcatcher, and all kinds of stuff on Android. I appreciate you listening. I say we, it's the royal we, I guess. But yeah, there'll be more. If you have show suggestions, you can post stuff, like I said, at Facebook, or send me an email at randy@30mch.com. We'll do what you want to do, drink what you want us to drink, and try stuff out. Again, it is the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour. Thanks for tuning in every Tuesday right here at LATalkRadio.com live. And then next morning, we put it up on the 30MCH.com page. So thanks for listening. Have a good night. See ya.